At Vatican II, there was a document that was produced called Gaudium et Spes, which means joys and hopes. And this was a document that speaks about how the church is to be in the modern world. The primary author of Gaudium et Spes was Pope St. John Paul II, at that time the young Archbishop of Krakow, Karol Wojtyła. And I want to read to you one sentence from this document that I think so beautifully encapsulates the theme of today's readings. The Church, instructed by divine revelation, affirms that men and women have been created by God for a destiny of happiness beyond the reach of earthly trials. So first of all, that we have been instructed by divine revelation, that we have been created for a destiny of happiness. Of course, that is our ultimate goal. And as Lilo read that passage from Hebrews, this is at the very core of that reading, that these Old Testament characters understood that they too were destined for happiness. And this is what we have been created for. Indeed, in that reading, it's put so beautifully when the writer says, when people speak in this way, it is clear that they are seeking a homeland. And clearly, this is not our homeland. What is this world? Well, as Gaudium et Spes goes on to say, beyond the reach of earthly trials. That's what this world is, the place where we experience the reality of earthly trials. Again, in that reading from Hebrews, which I might invite you to consider reflecting on later today, you'll see that this is so clearly articulated by what the author writes. And indeed, he was writing to people who were being so persecuted for the faith that some of them had lost their property, some of them were even going to lose their lives. And yet he affirms that you have been created for a destiny of peace. This is so clearly at play in today's gospel. And of course, at the simple level, of the literal reading, it's the story of Jesus and the apostles going with other boats across the Sea of Galilee, a lake that was known for these very, very tempestuous storms that would come up all of a sudden. And there would be waves that could be as high as 2 meters in height. But here's the thing that St. Mark wants us to see. It's an interesting detail that only he includes, that Jesus is in the stern of the boat, the first part of the boat that would be swamped. And so if anyone's going to fall out of the boat, it's going to be Jesus. But what's he doing? He's asleep. And this is the only place in the Gospels where it mentions Jesus sleeping. Isn't that interesting? That at this point of crisis, Jesus is asleep. The apostles interpret it as meaning that he doesn't care. But of course, it isn't that at all. Because what this story anticipates is the cross. This story anticipates Jesus falling into the sleep of death as he will die on the cross, but that the cross will then, of course, lead through to his resurrection from the dead, when death will indeed be stilled and we will come to know the true peace that only he can give. And so when we think about the story of Jesus in the boat, a couple of other things to mention. It's from this boat that Jesus had been preaching the parables throughout the day. So the boat is the pulpit, but the boat is also the vessel by and through which the church sails through the tempestuous waters of this world. And it's interesting that, again, only Mark has this detail, that there are other boats that are accompanying the boat that Jesus is in with the apostles. What does St. Mark want us to know? We're in the boat together. And we're in the boat together with Jesus. And at the very heart of everything that we experience, that the voice of Jesus is never silent, that he continues to speak to us through the church, and he continues to accompany us through the trials of this earthly life because we believe there is a destiny of happiness. As I was thinking about today's gospel, I was reminded of March 27th, 2020. On that Friday, towards the end of Lent last year, you might remember that Pope Francis was in St. Peter's Square on a dark, rainy Friday, where he prayed for the city of Rome and for the world. And in his homily that day, our Holy Father actually used this text from Mark chapter 4 as the passage that he preached on. And I want to conclude my homily today by referencing a couple of the very thoughtful things our Holy Father said to us at the beginning of this terrible pandemic. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Faith begins when we realize we are in need of salvation. We are not self-sufficient. By ourselves, we will not be able to survive. We need the Lord, like ancient navigators needed the stars. Let us invite Jesus into the boats of our lives. Let us hand over our fears to him so that he can conquer them. And then he writes these beautiful words. The Lord asks us, and in the midst of our tempest, invites us to reawaken and put into practice that solidarity and hope capable of giving strength, support and meaning to these hours when everything seems to be floundering. The Lord awakens so as to reawaken and revive our Easter faith. We have an anchor. By his cross, we have been saved. We have a rudder. By his cross, we have been redeemed. We have a hope. By his cross, we have been healed and embraced so that nothing can separate us from his redeeming love. In the midst of isolation, when we are suffering from a lack of tenderness and a chance to meet up, and we experience the loss of so many things, let us once again listen to the proclamation that saves us. He is risen and is living by our side. Now, as I said, he wrote these words on the 27th of March. That was months ago. And we are still experiencing this isolation. We are experiencing the reality of COVID, and we do not know when it's going to end. But what we do know is what Karl Wojtyła knew. Karl Wojtyła, who lived as a young man during the horrors of Nazism, who was a priest, bishop, archbishop, and cardinal during the worst of Soviet communism, and yet a man who lived for decades in a controlled and manipulated political system, was able to pen these words. The church, instructed by divine revelation, affirms that men and women have been created by God for a destiny of happiness beyond the reach of earthly trials.